are living in urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, good afternoon, my friends. It is December 2nd, 2024, the first week of Advent. Can you believe it? It's bitter cold here in Philadelphia, and we went from warm weather just about 2 weeks ago to this bitter cold, so we know that Christmas is on its way. So let us begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we offer this program to you. We pray for all the special intentions of all those who are listening and all those who couldn't listen but are asking for prayer. We also pray today, as we have been now for over 6 weeks, for the victims of Hurricane Helene and Milton. Again, Lord Jesus, we still see so many people in tents and so many wonderful, wonderful people are sending down their campers for people to be warm and families to be warm with food and clothing. And we ask, Lord, that this beautiful effort of charity continue for those who have been forgotten in the mountain regions, who've lost everything. We pray that no one will be sleeping in a tent, Lord Jesus, during this weather. And we pray in a special way also for the dangerous amount of snow around portions of our country. We saw in the news up near Lake Erie and Buffalo, all the amount of snow and more is expected. So we pray, Lord Jesus, for safety for all those who are in harm's way. Father God, we also pray for global peace today. We believe in the power of prayer, so we're asking you and your Blessed Mother to place your hand on the hearts of those who have revenge and malice, and to bring peace to our world. In your holy name, amen. Well, I just want to let you know, last week I was talking about my 22.5-pound turkey that was frozen solid, and I was concerned that it wouldn't thaw. It did, and thank God, 15 of us sat down for dinner, and everyone survived my cooking. So thank you, Jesus, for that. But it's only really once a year now that I host something like this, and I haven't been able to in 2 years. So I thank the Lord that the turkey thawed. And actually, I was telling Maureen Powers, who works in the office of In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, that I actually prayed over the turkey in the refrigerator that it would thaw. So it's a minor thing, but during that period of time, it was a big deal. So thank you for your prayers if you thought of me, and I pray your turkeys solve if they were frozen solid as mine was. But today's topic, talk about freezing. God doesn't want us to wait to be served, does he? He wants us to serve. Now, this was given to me in prayer and did a lot of research during the day, and I pray that this touches your heart in a very special way. For you see, a lot of the dissatisfaction that we experience in this lifetime comes from forgetting that we're made for mission. Isn't that right? We are made for mission. Now, God didn't create us to be served. He created us to serve. Now, I'm going to use some analogies here so it becomes quite clear. In Matthew Kelly's book, Resisting Happiness, which I highly recommend because it's a true story about why we're sabotaging ourselves. We feel overwhelmed. We set aside our dreams and lack the courage to simply be ourselves and how to start choosing happiness again. So have you ever tried to use a snowblower as a vacuum cleaner? Now, that's a stupid idea, right? Have you ever tried to use a fire extinguisher to take a shower? Right, another stupid idea. Well, using things for something other than what they were specifically designed for usually ends up pretty ugly, doesn't it? But we do it with ourselves all the time, habitually. We constantly try to fit square pegs in round holes. Now, every time you become a better version of yourself, God can use you more powerfully for his great plans. Now, God wants all of us, my friends, to serve powerfully. He doesn't want us to be timid, little, lukewarm, milkworm baby rabbits. He wants us to become the best version of ourselves so we can serve more powerfully than ever before. And he wants all of us to become our best self because he simply delights in us. Now, this should be our mandate for Advent, right? The Lord delights in us. He wants us to be powerful intercessors. He wants us to become the best version of ourselves, to be authentic, to be transparent, not to be fake for the sake of others. Now, one of the essential lessons in this quest is that we ultimately find happiness not by seeking gratification for ourselves, but by serving others. Have you ever heard, I know years and years ago I had some local psychiatrists on the air with me, and they said one of the great remedies for depression is to serve others when we really don't want to, but it's important to serve others and to bless them. You, my friend, you were made for this mission, and you were created to serve powerfully. Now, and you'll never be truly happy until you find a way to lay down your life for others that engages your talents and abilities. Now, place your talents and enthusiasm at the service of life. Can you do that today? Think of your talents. You may knit. You may fill up oil tanks with your truck. You know, you may be an HVAC guy. You may be a cook. You may be a house cleaner. You may be a mom. This was the message of St. John Paul the Great as he traveled around the world. Do you remember this? Speaking to people of all ages. Service is central to the life of a Christian. We're not the masters. We are the servants. So how do we discover what God is calling us to do? How do we discover that? We've been over this so many times in this journey as we try to unpack what God wants us to do with our talents and abilities. God speaks to us through our talents, and he speaks to us in many other ways too, but you have a unique set of talents and abilities that are God-given. Some people can bake like no other. Some people are great with spreadsheets, not me. Our God is a God of purpose. He does things with purpose, for purpose and only one purpose. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that he gave you your particular mix of talents and abilities because they actually match up with the mission he has in mind for you. So I don't know about you, but I saw on 60 Minutes last night, this wonderful interview with a woman on an island off the Chesapeake Bay called Smith Island. It's really a desolate island. You can only get there via a boat. You can't drive to the island. And people love it. And it's really a place where you're in desolation. But this woman made cakes, special cakes, and she sent them all over the world. Now, she didn't have a bakery in her house, and she didn't even charge people in advance. She had them pay after they received the cake. But the simplicity of life and her ability to take cake baking to help others really touched my heart. And to see how a family from New Jersey of four children and one great-grandchild, they're building a home on stilts and off this island. And really, there is nothing but crabbing in the summer and getting oysters during the winter. But the happiness and simplicity of their lives is astounding. But that's what got, maybe we don't live on Smith Island. Maybe we live in Tinicum Township, or in North Philadelphia, or South Philadelphia, or maybe we live in a suburb. God wants us to find that town, and don't think for one moment that crocheting or making cakes or helping people with their spreadsheets or their computers or filling coffee and giving it to someone by paying it back isn't a talent, because it is. We cannot focus on all of our talents at one time. Now, you may say, I don't have any talents. Well, maybe you have a talent for putting makeup on. Maybe you have a talent for sharing used clothing and bringing clothing or food to the poor. You cannot fully exercise even one of your talents in this lifetime. You can't use it all. It's impossible. So it's critical, my friends, that we turn to God from time to time and ask, okay, God, what talent do you want me to focus on at this time in my life? So if you're listening and you're 20 through 80, ask the Lord right now, what talent do you want me to focus on at this time in my life? Maybe it's cleaning houses. Maybe it's stocking shelves. Who knows? Maybe it's cleaning up horse manure in a stable. Just ask God, what is the talent that you want me to focus on at this time in my life? Maybe you're in a hospital bed, and the only thing you can do, which is the most powerful, is to intercede and pray for others. That's a talent. Now, another question over the years has been, oh, I would like to do what you do. How do I get started? Do you know how many times I've heard that in my lifetime, in giving retreats or producing television documentaries? I wish I could do what you do, or even being on the air like this. I always begin by saying, I did not set out to do what I'm doing. Trust me, you've heard Kathleen say she did not intend to be president of a Catholic radio network. She fought this one tooth and nail. And guess what? So did I. And this work that God has called me to has evolved over time. Now, all I've ever tried to do, and I'm encouraging you, is to take the next step that we all believe God was asking us to take. Now, often, do you find yourself really resistant to that next step? So maybe you don't want to make coffee for your neighbor who's sick or make a meal. Maybe you don't want to be bothered. It's just too much because you don't want to get into your private affairs by knocking on a door and delivering a meal. So have you been lazy? Have you been afraid? Too comfortable? Have all these things caused you to delay the next step? But over time, my friend, you realize you'll never be happy unless you take that next step. And really, really, by some grace, you overcome the resistance and you move forward. That's right. You move forward by just taking one baby step. Now, think about right now, if you're on the Schuylkill Expressway, 295, 495, a back road, in your office, in the kitchen, what are your talents? I want you to name them. Now, even if you don't want to name them, just say out loud right now, one talent. Maybe you're stirring the gravy. Maybe you're making a great meal for your family, or you're even pushing it into the microwave and you're about to feed your family that they're off and running to sports events. What are you passionate about? Really, think about this. What are your talents and what are you passionate about? And why do you think God gave you those talents? You think he just said, Susie, Mary, Jane, Joey, Lincoln? I'm just going to drop this on you today. Think about the talent he gave you and think about the talent that he has really created you to be passionate about. Maybe you're involved in politics or your church ministry or a young adult group, and all of a sudden you feel a zeal in your heart. Why do you think God gave you those talents? And why do you feel called to ministry? What in particular do you feel God is calling you today, the first week of Advent? What do you think he's calling you to? See, you cannot be happy focused on yourself. You may be very narcissistic, thinking always about yourself. Hell, you're a victim. You cannot be happy focused on yourself. And you were made for mission. You were made for God's mission. It's deep within you. Maybe you need to go on a treasure hunt tonight. Maybe this is your task for Advent, to open that treasure box in your heart, to discover one talent that you have. And only by serving others in a meaningful way do you truly discover the happiness we all yearn for, right? So again, I want to give you an action step for this Advent. What mission do you think God's calling you to now in your life? I want you to say it out loud, the first thing that comes to your mind. And don't get caught all up in what he may have been calling you to in the past. Oh, I should have been a nun, should have been a priest, I should have had 10 more kids, or I should have taken that job, or what he may call you in the future. Write down his invitation to you tonight as you can best discern it. Can you do that? Can you do that? It's very powerful. So I want you to think about, have you ever wondered what God looks on us as a resume of our lives? A resume? Well, there's only one resume God writes for our life. And he asks only one thing of us. And he can certainly take care of the rest, right? And it's like what Jesus did with the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And again, you know that story from the sacred scriptures. God wants to do that with your life tonight. See, the one thing God needs from you in order to launch you into mission is your availability. That's right. You have to be available. Now, that doesn't mean, oh, well, I have 5 extra hours in a day. You're always saying, I'm available, Lord, whatever it is you want me to do. Maybe you're in the supermarket. What is it that you want me to do? Maybe it's just to be nice to the cashier, to thank them for doing a great job. I remember so well my friend Jimmy Murray, the founder of the Ronald McDonald Houses, and former GM of the Philadelphia Eagles with Dick Vermeil. Every time I would be out with him, he would ask the taxi driver, what's your name? Where are you from? And he would get into a conversation with complete strangers. And I would think, this is so odd. Why is he doing this? No matter where he went, he would get into a conversation. If he was in an elevator, he would turn around and say, hi, I'm Jimmy, what's your name? Or to students, what parish, if he's in the Catholic area, what parish do you belong to? It really made a quite an impact on me to thank people and to say, thank you for packing that bag or doing something in a market or doing something in a store. Thank you. Thank you so much. And what is your name again? You're the best. That's my line. It drives my girls crazy, and my 2 married girls, it drives them crazy when I turn around and say, you're the best. They constantly say, why are you doing that, Mom? Why do you keep embarrassing us by saying you're the best? Because I think of Jimmy Murray. I think of his resume, what it looks like, of all the good that he has done in his life, all the good, all the lives he's touched, and all the hidden lives. By simply asking someone, the taxi driver, what's your name? Do you have a family? Have you been driving long? We need to heighten our awareness of our talents and our mission. See, Jesus only asks one thing of us. Make yourself available to God, and incredible things will happen. You want the best Christmas ever? Make yourself available to God. Incredible things will happen. And I'm not talking about winning the lottery. I'm not talking about you're building a new house and incredible things will happen. I'm talking about a burst of joy in your heart from caring about someone else. See, how available are you to God at this time in your life? So say you're in your 80s, your 70s, your 60s, your 50s, your 40s. Maybe you're in your 20s listening. Are you available? 20%, 50%, 75%. You talk about resistance. We are resistant to making ourselves 100% available to God, aren't we? We're always busy, busy, busy. It's crazy when you think about it. We hold back from God because we want to be in control. Now, this is one of the grandest delusions in human history. We're not in control, and we will never be. I wish I had a bell. Ring, ring. St. Ignatius of Loyola had an incredible ability to help people get beyond resistance. Study his life. He was a genius at understanding human nature and how it impacted spiritual growth. This is what he wrote in the Spiritual Exercises about making ourselves 100% available to God. Now listen carefully. Now, if you want to switch the dial, please don't. There are very few people who realize what God would make of them if they abandon themselves entirely into his hands and let themselves be formed by his grace. A thick and shapeless tree trunk would never believe that it could become a statue, admired as a miracle of sculpture, and would never consent to submit itself to the chisel of the sculptor, who, as St. Augustine says, sees by his genius what he can make of it. Many, many people who we see now scarcely live as Christians do not understand that they could become saints. That's you. That's me. If they would let themselves be formed by the grace of God, if they did not ruin his plans by resisting the work which he wants to do. That's right. That he wants to do in us. He's creating our personal heavenly resume. That's right. Now, are you 100% available to God? I would think not. I'm just taking a guess. Try not to just read through these words or listen to me on radio. I want you to take a minute and think about it. Ask yourself right now, what are you gaining by resisting God? By going to the bar, by going to the casino, by wasting your money, by looking at women with lustful eyes or men, by cheating, by deceiving. Is it really worth it for this to be put on your resume? Now, how much better would your life be if you surrendered completely to God? Answer that. A lot of people are afraid to surrender their lives to God. Do you think it'll be any better? Now, I want you to ask some people you know who appear to have surrendered their life 100% to God. Ask them what the fruits of 100% availability to God are. So, surrendering your life and committing your life to God doesn't make your life easier, but it gives you peace in the midst of turmoil. Yes, it does. It's not a magic wand that waves over your head when you surrender your life to Jesus, like all will be well. Many times it is for people, but many times it means it's an onslaught of pain, but brings us joy. See, at the heart of the Christian experience is what our ancient Christian ancestors called conversion. God is constantly inviting us to conversion, isn't he? Conversion of the heart is a daily process. So why are we resisting God? You feel it. You feel the anger, the hatred in the marketplace. You feel it on TV. Why are we resisting God? Because deep down, we don't trust him. We're resisting him because we simply don't trust him. And why do we cast God and his ways out the window? Because deep down, we think God's trying to limit our freedom. Now, many, many years ago, 40-some years ago, when I ran a youth group in the Philadelphia area, a huge youth group, teenagers were terrified of committing their lives to Christ because they thought, oh, no, if I have a drink, I'm going to hell. If I do something wrong, they could not engage in God's love for them. They had such a hard time engaging in God's love for them. And they were missing out on how available God wanted them to be to him, to pour out their talents, to pour out their mission. It took some time, but it worked. I love this quote from Pope Benedict XVI. He said, "The human being does not trust God." What? The human being does not trust God? Tempted by the serpent, he harbors the suspicion that in the end, God takes something away from his life. That God is a rival who curtails our freedom and that will be fully human only when we cast him aside. Now, this is what the kids thought. This is what the youth group thought. They thought, oh my goodness, if I surrender my life to Christ, my freedom's going to be limited. Well, it's just the opposite. Your freedom is enhanced. And the Pope Benedict then said, we mistakenly believe that only by casting God aside can we fully achieve our freedom. My friends, if you have children or grandchildren or neighbors or you yourself feel like, oh, if I surrender my life to God and that one talent I have, my freedom's going to be gone. You have more freedom than ever. You'll have more power than ever. See, it's time for all of us to stop resisting happiness, to stop resisting the joy of life-giving daily conversion. It's time to stop resisting God. Pray for grace today. Pray for grace during this Advent. Ask God. Beg him to give you the wisdom, the grace, and humility to make yourself 100% available to him. 100% available to him. Can you do that? 100% available to him. Ask for transformation. Pray a prayer of transformation all during Advent. Now, it's so easy to let the critic distract you. So that nasty, negative person who is a narcissist, who thinks the world revolves around them, they will distract you from what God's calling you to do in the present moment. It's amazing how easily we can allow the critic to rob us all of our passion and energy. We live our lives for an audience of one, God. And this is what he wants for us to work on during Advent. If you're doing what you believe that God is calling you to do, deep in your soul, walk on. Walk on. Don't let the critics win in your life. Don't let them win. Be watchful, my friends. Be watchful during this Advent. Be on guard against these critics, the people who are spreading negative things. Resistance will use them to discourage you, or at the very least, to distract you. So after the break, my friends, we have so much more to cover, and I pray that this program touches your life in a special way. So stay tuned.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
You are listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGlone, on Thy Will Be Done, heard every Monday live from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. on this amazing network. And we have so much to talk about today. We're talking about God doesn't want us to wait to be served. He wants us to serve. Also, I want to remind you that it's December, and all of us are always looking for nonprofits or tax-deductible places to really write off checks to help our income tax for the year. I highly encourage all of you who are listening to write a check to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network as a tax deduction, giving you enough notice to really think about it and pray, whether it's $5, $500, $5,000, or $5 million, give it to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. And if you want the address and all, next week I'll have it available. I want you to call 610-527-2906. Again, you will receive a receipt. Your tax deduction keeps these programs on the air. Again, all the broadcasters are not paid, including Kathleen McCarthy. Only one administrator is paid to keep the network on the air. So I ask you, it's 50 plus years on the air, isn't consistent years, not going off for a short period of time, but I'm asking you to consider this radio network as your tax exempt check this year. Think about it, pray about it, and I'll bring it up next week as well. Well, my friends, we're talking about how we need to serve and be available. So passion is born, and God calls you and me and the neighbors and the strangers and says, look, there's a need. You see the need, you know you can fill the need, and deep in your heart, you know your life will never be the same. Find your passionate call is not responding to every need. God selects specific people to meet specific needs. Now, I mentioned Jimmy Murray, the founder of the Ronald McDonald Houses. Can you imagine? They're all over the world. He responded to a specific need for parents with children who have cancer or who are being treated at Children's Hospital to have a place to stay, because they can't afford hotels. He responded to a specific need. He didn't have any money in his pocket, but look what happened. It's over 50 years of this, and they're all over the world. So maybe you're not Jimmy Murray, or maybe you're not someone famous. Maybe you're Susie or Linda, and maybe you can make a quilt for the parish craft fair to help with the funds of the parish. Maybe you can clean the altar cloth, or maybe you can host a youth group by giving them pizzas, providing pizzas for the next youth group. There are so many ways. Or if you're confined to your house, take on the prayer petitions of this apostolate. So the seed of passion and mission is planted in our lives by God. It's not something that drops out of the sky, comes to us in an email. We take all those lovely little psychological tests that really don't prove anything. Passion and mission is something we have to go in search of. Now, we need to search for God. And when we seek to be intimately connected with Him, He'll use the desires of our heart. So maybe you want to bring in foster children. Maybe the gift of mothering is in your heart, or fathering. The circumstances of our life, look at it. Write it out tonight. Put a circle around it. And God's confirming word to solidify and reveal that passion that you maybe have never even thought of. Passion and mission is something you can't walk away from because it's part of you. It's part of your baptismal call. I believe God places a calling on each of our lives. In the Bible, parents were sometimes told by God that their children were to accomplish a special work. Think about John the Baptist. Think about his parents. Think about Jeremiah. He was told by the Lord, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Passion is a gift from God to empower you. It's your motivation sent through a pure means, the heavenly means, to accomplish pure results that will glorify God and meet the needs of His people. An impassioned heart may change or adapt over time. So, yeah, it might change like in February, but the passion still remains constant. The look of it could change, how it goes about, but it's still constant in your heart, isn't it? If you really and truly are trying to name that talent tonight, passion and mission is intense. You may be reluctant to be impassioned, overwhelmed by the challenge of letting yourself answer the call of God. Remember, we just talked about the young kids in the youth group. You may fear the unknown, and you may fear the responsibility of carrying a burden, or you may fear burnout from caring too much, which we see so often. Setting boundaries, that'll be an upcoming program. Learning to set boundaries with your passion and mission. And you may also feel inadequate or unprepared to carry this passion that you have in your heart. Now, our biggest struggle with our passions is that at times it feels too big, just too big. Way too big. Intense emotions are carried in your heart. So if you carry that worldly passion, like a heart-shaped locket around your neck, you'll see a world of injustice, and your heart will swell with passion. Yes, your heart will swell up and become a swell of passion. Now, we all know the story of Esther, don't we? She said in Esther 4:16, "If I perish, I perish." She said that with all the courage she could find. And she said it to the closest people to her who were praying. She received a stealth visit from her uncle. And after he left, his words rang in her heart. "Who knows, maybe you've come to this position for such a time as this." And she promised her uncle that she would go to her husband on behalf of her people. Now her secret would be out. Her life would be on the line. With all the courage she could find, she asked those closest to her to pray, saying, "If I perish, I perish." That's from Esther 4, verse 16. But guess what? Esther didn't perish. She and her people were saved. Esther was transformed from a timid trembler to a passionate princess by God's passion planted within her, which is what we're talking about. God takes care of his impassioned people. He lets us know when to act, when to be still, doesn't he? He lets all of us know when and how far to step in. You see, because God is carrying the burden for the passion he placed within us. After breaking both of my legs last October, and surgery on both, and being in two different hospitals and therapy, I learned to be still. I didn't want to be still. I have had a very active life working. I love my work. I love giving retreats. It was so hard to be still. And I remember Father Doug McKay saying, "The Lord is allowing you to be stripped down." And he's stripping and stripping and stripping. And I'm thinking, I have nothing left to give. Remember Grace Marquet's song? "I Have Nothing Left to Give." One of my favorite all-time songs. And I was dependent on everyone. And I thought, what talent do I have being here? I can't move. I can't do anything. I couldn't even write. And I haven't been able to write in over a year and a half. And I've written a book and produce television documentaries and videos and haven't been able to write a word. But the Lord placed it on my heart. I want you to pray for people who have asked us to pray, asked you to pray. And it's mostly for all of you in this radio network. So it may seem really strange when things happen to you, but God will sometimes fill your heart with passion and mission and then make you wait. Wow, oh wow, did he make me wait? He made me wait. And at times, his purpose for my life and your life is best accomplished when he puts your passion and mission on hold. Now, it's really hard to even say that because I remember the nights of when my passion and my mission was put on hold and I was dependent on everyone. Everyone, you're faced with life and death decisions every day. You see, passion is sometimes planted by pain. Oh, my goodness. I learned that the hard way. I've read about it. I've heard about it in retreats from some of the best retreat masters. Passion and mission is sometimes planted by pain, isn't it? And the passion and mission we're talking about is not just a feeling. It's not a feeling. Feelings can be acted upon if it's convenient, right? Passion must be acted on. Passion's roots run deep and are wrapped around deep-rooted beliefs. Those convictions, my friends, are the difference between a feeling that goes up in flames quickly and an eternal fiery bush that burns inside of you, yet is not consumed. Convictions are the staying power for passion. So, you may have a conviction to pray for your child who doesn't go to church, or pray for your local pastor. You have a conviction. Listen, that can be your passion. How do you discover what those convictions are? The best way is to discover this is what you are truly passionate about is to ask yourself a few key questions. It's not rocket science. What truth would you die for? Oh boy, isn't that a heavy duty one? What truth would you die for? And what principles would you go to jail for to protect? What would you go to jail for to protect? What people would you place around your neck on a chopping block for? And why would you do it? You see, people sail through their entire lives never facing a life and death decision. We, especially in this Western world, we easily give lip service, don't we, to various causes or principles. Lip service. Oh, we're out there protesting, but we're not going to adopt a disabled child. It's lip service. We become lax in our faith. We may hope that if it came right down to it, we would say, I would rather die than break my faith. Do you remember, it had to be in the 60s, 1960s. We were asked by the nuns, if a communist knocked on your door and you opened the door and he asked you if you were Catholic or Christian, what would you say? Do you remember that question? Well, that question is pretty appropriate today, isn't it? It's pretty appropriate. People give up their faith and their mission and their passion out of fear. Living your passion and your mission will give you more freedom and authenticity. Do you know what you would die for? Do you know, how do you measure that? You know what you live for? Probably live for your family, of course. Or for the church? Do you read the sacred scriptures? Do you read them and pray them every night? Is the Bible your basis for your relationship with the Lord? Are you ready to defend God's word in life? Because if you don't, your heart's going to dry up without the nourishment from God's word. Do you know the character of God? He's Trion. He's all-knowing, all-loving. Do you know the Holy Spirit? Do you know the Trinity? God said another of the same kind would come to comfort, lead, and guide us. God resides in us and lives through us through the Holy Spirit. Are you aware of your personal sinfulness? How about the church and its sacraments? The Church Universal is God's method for reaching the world with his love. It's for dipping down into our hearts tonight during this Advent season. The sacraments dip down right into our hearts. They want to open us, especially the sacrament of reconciliation. Do you remember the story of A Man for All Seasons by Sir Thomas More? He faced execution, and he was asked by the king and his court to recant his views of the king's divorce and remarriage. His family also comes and asks him to change his views. Hurry up, change your views, or you're going to die. More replied, when a man takes an oath, he's holding his own self in his hands, like water. And if he opens his fingers, then he needn't hope to find himself again. He said, I believe that to deny my convictions is to deny myself. So rejecting the passion and mission we've been given by God will make our lives meaningless, my friends. So what beats in your heart tonight that if it were to vanish, you would no longer be alive, spiritually, emotionally, and physically? You can discover the passion that God designed uniquely for you. And I know we have people tuning in the car. What's on your mind as you go to sleep at night? And then first thing in the morning, are you putting your feet on the floor and saying, Lord, I give you my fiat. I give you my day. I give you my passion and mission. I give you my talents, known and unknown. When you sit for those rare quiet moments and daydream about what God wants of you, where do your thoughts take you? What movies bring you to tears? What injustices make your blood boil? And when you read God's word and there comes themes in the verses, do you mark them? Do you mark them with a marker or underline them and mark the date? And what breaks your heart today? Have you discovered what it means to live and to love life? God promises to lift us up to our high place. That's right, our high place. You have the opportunity to say with the prophet Habakkuk, "The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk on my high places." Passion and mission, my friends, will carry you to your high places. It's when you're there in the place of your passion that you can honestly say, "I know who I was born to be." Passion and mission, it works. So when you find that what breaks the heart that Christ placed in you, what is it? Are you an addict? Maybe you take too many drinks. Maybe you eat too much. Maybe you watch TV too much, or you're on the internet too much. When you recognize that, write it down. Then you'll find your passion. Because when you find that which breaks the heart that Christ placed in you, then you'll find your passion and mission. Now tonight, I'd like you to write three sentences that capture times when you were moved to tears. Decide on some action or resolve to reach out. Can you do that? I ask that you do that. It's a very powerful exercise. Very, very powerful. See, God enhances our uniqueness, if you're just tuning in. He enhances our uniqueness and focuses our talents with our leadership style. See, in Israel, gifted handcrafters, artists, and musicians are set apart for special work for the temple. Did you know that? In the same way, our leadership styles dictate the way in which we use the talents God gives us. The audience we're trying to reach helps us focus on our leadership style and to find the best use of the gifts that God has placed in us. Feeling confident in Christ is an attitude you can put on. That's right. It's an attitude you can put on. Not that we're competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. Our competence comes from God. That's from 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5. We are competent when we're in Him. We may not feel qualified, we may not feel committed, and we certainly may not feel motivated. We may not feel like wearing a hat of influence, but as you function according to the gifts, abilities that God has built into you, guess what? Your feelings will finally catch up. That's right. Your feelings will finally catch up. And if you step out in obedience and see yourself as God sees you, God will see to it that you get all the training and resources you need. I've learned that personally. He provided everything for some of my documentaries. I didn't have a dime. One time, I'll share with you, when producing The Father's Gift of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, in which Mother Teresa is in this, I didn't have a dime. The Lord told me to produce this video on the real presence of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, and I was in adoration. I said, "Lord, I don't have a dime." came home, and during that period of time, it was in the 1990s, I said, Lord, I need a fax machine if you want me to. I need something. So a friend of mine who has since passed, a famous theologian, Father René Laurentin from France, contacted me and said, hey, I will be at Mount St. Mary's in Emmitsburg. I'd like to see you. And I thought, oh, he's perfect to speak on the Holy Eucharist. But Lord, I can't afford to hire a professional television crew. So I put it on my credit card. I didn't tell my husband at that point. Put it on my credit card, traveled down to Emmitsburg, did a television interview with Father René Laurentin, came back, and I told a friend of mine, I said, I shot this video and I don't have the money to pay the film crew. And he said, how much was the film crew? And it was quite expensive. And he said, don't worry, a check is in the mail. And by the way, do you need a fax machine? I never asked for it. The Lord provided it. And this is how I knew that God spoke to me. The rest of the story is history of interviewing people around the world and a well-known television producer who worked in Belgium arrived at my home because she had seen my other documentaries and wanted to know who I was. And here the Lord had placed it on her heart to do this as well. So the Father's gift of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist became history. The Lord planted that passion in my heart to speak about the real presence of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. And he provided the means of which to do it. I never asked for it, but I knew it was from him because I was before him in the Blessed Sacrament. He provided everything. So you see, I believe that God wants a special mission of this radio apostolate, all the broadcasters and future broadcasters to come down the line. This mission is far outreaching. When Kathleen says, hit your share button, hit your share button. But beyond that, share it with others. And they can listen if they're in other parts of the country through Alexa by just saying the radio station name, WTMR 800 AM. So my friends, let me pray for you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we offer up this radio broadcast. We pray for all those who are just tuning in. We pray that this Advent season be one of holiness and grace, and that people will discover their passion and mission that you have placed in their hearts, and that they will fulfill the passion and mission that you placed in their hearts. Dear Blessed Lady, Our Lady of Guadalupe, the Immaculate Conception, your feast days are coming up. We pray for you to intercede before God the Father for all of us, for all those people who are broken or fragile right now. We pray for complete and total healing of you, your family members, and your household. We pray for miracles this Advent season through this radio apostolate. Let this radio apostolate be set on fire through the power of the Holy Spirit. Allow nothing to stand in the way of this radio apostolate reaching all the ends of the earth. We pray, Father God, we entrust this radio apostolate in your loving arms and in your sacred heart. We thank you and praise you for all that you're doing in our lives. So until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you. God bless you.
Be alert. Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope. Be done.